Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
All-powerful God, merciful Father, I, a poor, pitiful sinner, confess to you all my sins and unrighteousness. By them, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love.
For his wondrous works to the children of men.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Whom he has redeemed from trouble.
He raises up the needy out of affliction.
And makes their families like flocks.
The upright see it and are glad.
And all wickedness shuts his mouth.
Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Grant us so firmly to believe in your Son, Jesus, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third last Sunday before Advent is from the first book of Kings, the 17th chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands,
which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. While observing those who gave offerings at the temple, Jesus said in Mark 12, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is our text. Jesus has a good eye for noticing things, especially for little things. He's a student of people and he observes them, and we see that in our gospel reading today. First, he sees the scribes. He notices how they dress, how they sit, how they pray, how they profit off of others. What does this reveal about them? Well, what Jesus recognizes is that the scribes love to be seen. They try to appear great and pious. They crave recognition. They enrich themselves at the expense of others. Very clearly, Jesus is sending a message to his disciples, to you and me. Don't be like the scribes. Don't be fake. Don't do things merely as a show to impress others. Guard yourself against the temptations of pride and riches. Such people, Jesus says, will receive the greater condemnation. But then he sees someone else. He sees a poor widow. So different from those scribes and Jewish religious leaders, and he observes her behavior at the temple. While the rich drop large sums into the offering box, this widow comes along and she drops in 2 lepta, 2 small copper coins, the widow's mite. Mark tells us that they equal a quadrans. It's maybe $3 in today's money. Not much. It certainly won't keep the lights on. It might buy a cup of coffee. And this woman, when she does this act, is completely unaware that anyone's watching. She's not noticing or thinking about herself. She didn't do it to be seen by others. She didn't do it for the recognition she would get, though little did she know that she would make it into the Gospels and that she would be remembered for thousands of years around the world. It's this widow, this nameless saint, who receives the praise of Jesus. "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." All she had. Which wasn't much. I mean, practically nothing at all. Her entire living dropped through that hole and clinking against the large coins of the rich. It would be like someone today on fixed income putting their entire Social Security check into the offering plate or donating it to a fund to help the poor. Honestly, it seems a little bit foolish and short-sighted. At least from our perspective, how's this woman going to live? Where will she get her evening meal? What will it mean for tomorrow? Those may be our questions, but they're not Jesus's questions. And the woman was a widow. That's to say, she was among the most vulnerable in society. She didn't have anyone else to rely on. She didn't have anyone to protect her or to provide for her or to help her. And yet that doesn't stop her. You know, here's the thing that blows my mind. This woman isn't looking there, isn't there acting for recognition, and she isn't seeking any sympathy. And she doesn't do this out of resignation or despair. She's just going about her regular life doing what she would normally do. She's not resigned. She's not in despair. She just keeps going. She keeps working. She keeps giving, like so many widows I've known and seen. The one that comes to my mind most is my mother's mother, my grandmother, Selma Graves. Into her 90s, she would drive her little car 1 mile each way to her Methodist church and back. It's about as far as she went. She worshiped, she prayed, she helped, she gave. And it left a big impression on me and on others. And the beauty of it is that she didn't do it for that reason at all. Scripture takes a special interest in the care and needs of widows. We heard this language in today's psalm. The Lord upholds the widow and the fatherless. The world may not notice or care, but the Lord does. He pays attention. And so does the church. St. James puts it this way. He says, religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is how James describes the activity of faith. What faith does: it visits orphans and widows in their affliction. It serves the neighbor. It lives in this world. The reality here at Our Savior is that we have quite a few widows. And it is a hard and challenging thing for these women who've lost their husbands, who often live alone. And yet I see the beauty here within our own congregation, the widows supporting one another through the journey, the congregation loving and supporting these women as they go through life. Continue to do this. Look out for one another. Love each other and serve each other as God would have us do. For this is faith active in love. You know, when I hear this poor widow mentioned in Mark, the thing that just jumps into my mind, and I can't help it, is how great this widow's need is. But Jesus says nothing about that. He doesn't latch on to her need. He doesn't latch on to her poverty. He directs us to her richness. Her richness of faith. We can learn something from Jesus here. When he sees this woman and what she's doing, he draws attention to her good qualities and deeds, to the good works that she does in God's sight, though to the world it looks like nothing. All she had to live on. All she had was basically nothing. All she had was trust. She hoped in the God of Israel, and I'm sure she had no idea that that God was watching her in that moment, not from above, but right there in the flesh. No idea that the Savior for whom she longed and prayed had come to save her, that he was standing in the same temple courtyard. Her hope in God for this life and for the life of the world to come is what we see. This woman was all in on her God and what he could do. She was eagerly waiting for him and trusting in him and placing her life into his hands. As she did this, she may have been remembering the account we heard from 1 Kings, the story of the widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17. This was a time in the land of Israel when the nation was being ruled by a king who was basically an unbeliever and had no respect for the God of Israel. And because of that and how the people were following him, the Lord sent a famine, a drought and famine on the land and in neighboring communities. And yet during that time, God provided for this widow from Zarephath and her son and his prophet Elijah. You heard the account, this woman gathering sticks when Elijah comes up and asks for a drink of water, she's about to get that for him, and he says, "Oh, can I have a cake as well?" And that's when she breaks down. "These sticks were for my last fire, that my last oil and last flour were going to bake the last cake on before my son and I die." And Elijah made a promise from God that the flour and oil would not run out. And the jar of flour was not spent, and neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The Lord upholds the widow. This widow, all she had, trust in her God. And this is an act of the gospel. This is the gospel at work in her life. For it is not that this woman looks at her own life and sees that she has some special merit or standing before God. It's not that this woman says, "I'm deeply loved because I'm so wonderful." No, it's that she knows her God is so wonderful that she deeply loves him in return. The widow's trust and her generosity flow from the steadfast love of the Lord that she knows. The steadfast love of the Lord that is new every day. His faithfulness, which is so great. You see, what the gospel gave to this woman was faith, and it was that same gospel that brought forth her generosity and her charitableness. She trusted in the God of Israel. And you know, when Jesus sees the gift that he gives, it's interesting because measured against the gifts of the rich, she really put in nothing. As I said earlier, it's not going to pay the bills in any way. And yet Jesus recognizes that she has given more. They gave out of the abundance that they had, out of the surplus that they had. She gave out of her poverty and her littleness. They wouldn't miss what they put in the offering box, but she would. Out of the depth of her want, in her destitute state, she gave all that she possessed. She sacrificed the last necessities of life to the Lord. You might say, it wasn't just her two mites that she put in the offering box. It was her whole self. And she did it out of a heart filled with love for the God of Israel. She was a cheerful giver. All she had, nothing. All she had, trust. All she had that day was Jesus. That keen observer of human beings, who's standing right there watching what is happening, the one who came for her. What we get in the gospel reading is not the widow's perspective. We don't know what she was thinking, what her emotional state was. What we get is God's perspective on her. And the deep love that Jesus has for this woman and her gift. In fact, it seems that what Jesus sees there with this woman giving all she had is really a microcosm, a little window into who Jesus is and what he came to do. It's like looking at that woman, he sees a mirror of himself in some way. All she had, she gave. All he had, he came to give. The widow gave her living. The Lord gave his life. And you should know that Mark 12, when Jesus watches this happen, is not just some random visit to the temple. This is happening during Holy Week. He is about to die. He is there in the temple teaching. I'm reminded here of the words of St. Paul, who said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." I'll admit it, on an earthly level, that woman, that poor widow, had nothing. Zero, zip, nada. And yet she was rich in faith, and rich through her God, rich through Jesus Christ, standing there about to give his life for her, that she might have life not only here, but forever. Jesus doesn't go to the temple to make an offering, but he does go to the cross to make an offering. There he casts in all he had, even his living. He breathed his last, released his spirit, as he said, "It is finished." All he had, he put in for her and for you. Our reading from Hebrews talks about the temple, not the earthly temple, but the heavenly one. It says that Jesus entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, appearing in the presence of God on our behalf. You see, as Jesus came to the earthly temple, he was coming to a place that it was only a copy of the heavenly temple, designed after what God had given Moses based on heaven. Jesus came to enter that temple on our behalf, to go in with his blood, making the offering of himself, not repeatedly, not over and over again, but the one sacrifice of himself for the salvation of the world. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many. He has borne our sins by the sacrifice of himself, and he has gone all in for you. All he had. You've heard it before, but I want to say it again now. All he had, even if it had only been you. That's what he gave out of his love. He gave his life. On the third day, he took it up again, and he will appear a second time. We look toward the end. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. That's already been paid for. That's already covered. But he will appear again to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. For that poor widow, for you and me, we are looking for this Jesus Christ, and we are looking for his return in glory. And as we look and as we wait, our Lord comes to us still. He comes with his word. He comes with his holy and precious gifts. He comes to grant us forgiveness, life, and salvation, that we may be sustained for our lives in this world. May God grant us as much as that widow had. May he grant to us a cheerfulness in what we give. May he multiply even the little that we are able to give out of our poverty, as well as the surplus out of our abundance. May he multiply it for his purposes and his good. May he grant to us as much as the widow had, a faith like hers that trusts in the God of Israel and receives what she needs from his hand. And may he grant to us what that widow had in Jesus, who was watching her, a Savior who has come in the flesh, who has laid down his life for us, and who has taken it up again, and who will come again in glory. May our Lord Jesus Christ now bless and keep you, that as we press forward toward the end, we may do so again surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, including this poor widow with her two mites. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name would be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, amid both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Thank you for hearing our prayers for Dave and Kate. Grant them continued healing. Restore and strengthen our sister Diane. Be with all cancer patients in their treatments, especially Kate, Bill, and Joyce. Be with Luann as she undergoes surgery. Provide Malin with a clear and treatable diagnosis and give patience and peace to her parents, Andy and Melinda. We also commend into your merciful hands Amara, Marilyn, Helen, Jared, Donna, and Patrick. For these and all who are in need, we pray, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy. Give us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us trust you to provide for all our needs. Uphold and strengthen the widow and the fatherless. Preserve our nation. Give wisdom to our elected leaders now and in the coming days. Grant them integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. We ask you to keep all those currently serving in the armed forces from harm and give them peace in Christ. Make our chaplains faithful evangelists and servants of the word, and lead us to show due respect and care for all veterans. We give thanks to you for the safe birth of daughter Lillian Grace to Casey. Now we pray that you would continue to be with Stephanie, Annie, and with Carl and Karen Cecil's daughter Kelly throughout their pregnancies. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Be the fortress and refuge of all who have lost loved ones or suffered injury through natural disasters, especially those in Spain's Valencia region. And bless those who bring them help and aid. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, so that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy. Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve. Deliver us, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul, and grant to all who commune this day a right reception of Christ's body and blood, the medicine of immortality. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We
is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
psalm today is Psalm 110, starting at the first verse. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. In holy garments and from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, fill them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over a wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, I will lift up his head. Glory be to the Father, as to the Son, as to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Depart in peace.
Come, Lord, 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 come, L
Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. Amen. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love for each, for one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.